I want to turn to our thoughts now to a text in the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. I remember reading about a famous artist. And someone was interviewing him. He was a man of note. And they asked him which of his artworks did he consider to be his best and his masterpiece. His answer was, my next one. Now here was a professional man who felt he possessed the potential of constant and continual improvement. And that each production would be better than the one before. Now that's a grand code to live by, folks. It's a grand outlook for life, and let us adopt it for ourselves. We are entering into a new year now. Let us look forward by faith to this being the best year of spiritual progress, the best time of our spiritual lives, and of our service to God. It should be. When we have to look backward for the best times of our lives, that's bad. We're in a bad situation when we have to rehearse things that are way back in the dim, distant past. If we are living our lives as God would have us to live them, and we're up to date with God, we can point to today as the best time of our lives. This Christian life and experience is a progressive something. I was thinking about Christopher Columbus. He sailed across the uncharted seas, and he had a crew on his ship, and they almost mutinied different times because they were out there and they didn't have much hopes of getting anywhere. And they would come to Mr. Columbus and make their complaints, and his answer was always, sail on and on. I remember a song that we sing, press on to what's before us, forgetting all the past. The light of heaven so glorious eternally will last. And adopting the slogan of Mr. Columbus. My admonition to us this morning is to press on, press on, press on and on. Amen. To what lies out before us. It's there. If we'll just move on into it. Let us resolve that this will be the best year under God of our Christian life, of our relationship with God, and of our service and work for God. Let us develop the potential within us. Every one of us have limited potential under God. If we will just apply ourselves and press on and on. We present the gospel message and the experience of salvation as something that satisfies. That's true. And yet, there is always a lack of satisfaction in our lives. There's an outreach. There's something that we're reaching out for that we haven't attained to as yet. We're satisfied all the time, and yet we're not satisfied. If that seems paradoxical, all right. But when we settle down to where we are, we're going to go stagnant. And some one of our brethren away back down the line said stagnation is the next station to damnation. We're headed for downfall and for destruction when we get satisfied where we are. We need a real outreach in our souls continually for development and growth and increase in the divine virtues and graces of God in our lives. This verse that I read, it says some things that might surprise us. The race is not to the swift. Well, that's surprising, isn't it? The battle is not to the strong. That's surprising too. And other things he said were surprising. Contrary to what we think. But in the final analysis he says, time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, time belongs to all of us, and on an equal basis. There's 60 minutes in every hour, and that's all ours. All of us. Big, little, old, young, rich, poor, wise, foolish, whoever. They all have 60 minutes in every hour. 24 hours in every day, 7 days in every week, 52 weeks in every year. The same time, we all have it. It seems that we make different use of our time. Different ones do. in order to gain different objectives and work to different goals. But when a person does not have time enough for his Christian duties and to serve God, there's something wrong in that situation. And I believe that's the most common excuse that I find among folks when I invite them out to the services and talk to them about serving God, their Christian duties, and praying and studying God's Word, and meditating on it, and attending the church services, and so on. I don't have time. Isn't that about the most common excuse there is? Folks, if we're too busy for our Christian duties and too busy to serve God, we're just plain too busy. But that's the common excuse. I'm too busy. If we don't have time enough to pray and to read God's Word and to visit and comfort and encourage other people, and to attend the worship services of the church, it's all because we're using some of the time that God has allotted to us for other purposes. God allotted to us sufficient time to do everything that we need to do to maintain this life and serve Him too. Jesus faithfully warns us about this in Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 24 and 27. He says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with servanting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." And folks, I stand here to tell you today that the most of the folks are caught in the snare today. And some of us may be in the snare. Serving, that's excess in food. And overindulgence. That's surfeiting. Drunkenness, you know what that is. Well, perhaps that doesn't catch so many of us, but how about the cares of this life? That's in it too. Lest ye be overcharged with the cares of this life. You and I have our lives in our own hands. And we are the guardian of our own souls. And it's up to us to see that we do not get so overloaded with the cares of this life that it crowds out the time that God has given us to serve Him with. "As a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the face of the earth." I recall now a man that I knew real well, and I knew him for years. His wife was one of the saints. When we first came to Southern California down there, she was in our congregation. Ed would bring her to church, let her out of the car, and he'd drive on. I met him out there one day when he brought his wife to church. I said, Ed, we'd like to have you come in with your wife and be in the service too. And he said, oh, says, I don't have time for that kind of thing. He says, I'm a busy man. And I have to work for a living. Well, he went on. That stung me all right, but he went on. And it wasn't very long after that till I was up at Dinuba, California. And I got a call that Ed had been stricken with a severe heart attack in the night that night and died before morning. He was going recklessly on, busy with the cares of this life, didn't have time to serve God, but God arrested him. And he had time to die. Then Jesus said, whose law these things be? Waste and misuse of time is one of the most common ways in which people rob God. God said in his word, will a man rob God? Well, we stagger at that kind of a thought. But people are robbing God, and some of us might be. There are different ways to do that. He gave us sufficient time to do all the needful things of life and serve Him too. But if we appropriate some of that time that He gave us to serve Him with to our own use and to promote our own cause and to gain our own objectives, that's plain, straight out robbing God of the time that He allotted to us for His service. Lee Richmond said, there is a time to be born and a time to die, says Solomon. And it is the memento of a truly wise man. But there is an interval between these two times of infinite importance. End of quote. Life has a beginning, life has an end, but how about this time in here between the beginning and the end? That's where we are now. We're living our lives now. This matter of living is serious business. We readily grasp the idea that death is serious and dying is serious business, but I'm inclined to believe that living is more serious than dying. The way we live our lives and the decisions and choices we make in our lives is going to determine how we will die and what our eternal destiny will be. Amen. We should all weigh diligently the choices and decisions that we make as we go along. They're going to affect our future. And I pray earnestly, and my wife will tell you she hears me pray this way morning after morning in our home, that God will guide us in our choices and decisions in life. And I remind him that at the age that we are now, wrong choices and wrong decisions could easily be fatal to us. The choices and decisions of life are very important. A week ago last Thursday night, at midnight, we entered a new year. 9.5 days of it are gone now. We're just coming into a new one. And the passing of a year and the coming into a new year should alert us that time is flowing on. Time is moving ahead. Well, we all know that. That's a common matter of conversation about how rapidly time passes. Every once in a while, Evelyn wakes up to where we are in the week or where we are in the month, and my, where did the time go? Well, I say it's gone right where all the rest of it's gone, right on past and on into eternity. But time is rolling on, and we all know that. That's common knowledge. But what we need to be alerted to is that as time rolls on, it's rolling us on with it. We're not standing still. We're going just as fast as time is. We're all 1 year older and 1 year nearer to our eternal destiny today than you were when you sat in this sanctuary and listened to me bring my New Year's message at the beginning of this last year. We're on down the line another year. What has the year been for us? What has been our profits and what has been our losses? This is a good time for us to take inventory. It seems difficult to believe that another year has passed. It seems such a short while since it began. But that's the way that time is moving on, and it brings into focus for every one of us what Jesus said to Judas in the 13th chapter of John, verse 27. He says, "What thou doest, do quickly." Now, we're not in a situation like Judas was. And we're not headed in Judas's direction, we hope. But that injunction is important to every one of us, recognizing how rapidly time is passing and how it's rolling us right along with it. What thou doest, do quickly. C.S. Lewis said, "We are all rushing into the future at the rate of 60 minutes per hour." That's the way our life is going. A year is a distinct segment of time. But a year is composed of 365 days. And I just mentioned that 9.5 of those days are past, that leaves 354.5 days ahead of us in this year. Let us not be foolish enough to try to live that 354.5 days tomorrow. A day is a distinct segment of time also. We don't live our lives by the year, we live them for the day. Job said, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Just a few years. Again, Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Perhaps he picked out the most rapid moving thing in his day to compare our days to, a weaver's shuttle. Again, he said, my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They go like they were on wings. When they're gone, we wonder where they went and how the days are passed. Someone said that one of the signs of advancing age is when you laid out more work for the day than what you could get done. Days go rapidly. James said, James 4:14, that our life is just as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Oh, folks, we need to get in gear. We need to get moving. If our soul needs saving, we need to be busy about saving it. If our house needs to be set in order, we need to be busy putting our house in order. If things need to be cleared up out of our lives, we need to be busy throwing them out. Eliminating the things out of our lives that are not acceptable to God and that will turn us away at the judgment day. We need to be getting rid of our unacceptable dispositions and attitudes and feelings and bitternesses and practices and things which would make us unacceptable to God and turn us away at the judgment day. We need to get in gear, folks. And we need to be busy renovating and working over our lives. If we have work to do for God, let's be busy doing it. Jesus taught us in the 21st chapter of Matthew, verse 28, about a man that had a vineyard and he had two sons. And he went to one of them and he said, son, go work in my vineyard today. The emphasis is on today. That boy said, all right, I'll go. But he didn't go. Is God prodding you about something that He wants you to do for Him, and you say, all right, I'm going to do what you want me to do, but you procrastinate. You put it off. You don't do it. Well, he had another son, and he told him to go work in his harvest today, or in his vineyard. He says, I won't go. But afterward, he repented and went. But the emphasis is on today. Jesus is not the least bit interested in having you work for him tomorrow. He wants you now. He wants you today. Jesus taught us in the 9th chapter of John in the 4th verse, work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We're going to come to the end of our days sometime. We're going to fail of this life. Work while we have time and opportunity. Work while it's day. Work when we can see things to be done. The night cometh when no man can work. This was Jesus' way of life, and it must be ours. M.J. Forbes, that lived down there at Pacoima, California, when we did, I don't know how many of you knew him, but you missed something if you didn't. But he came down to our place one morning, and we were remodeling a building that we had moved in there for a parsonage, and he had charge of the project. And he came down there, and it was Monday morning, and he said, Austus, says, here it is, Monday morning. Tomorrow will be Tuesday, and the next day Wednesday. The week half gone and nothing done yet. Well, he was a little whimsical and comical, and all that sounds a little laughable. But how many times we just sit by Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and on down the line, and Sunday comes, and we're not prepared for it. Jesus warned us faithfully about getting our days mixed up and intermingling our days. When we learn to live our lives one day at a time, we've learned the great secret of success in profitable living. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, in verse 11, Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples how to pray, he said, among other things, give us this day our daily bread. And I pray that more times than I can tell you. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us all the courage and strength and grace and faith and divine virtues and graces of God for today, to meet today's problems and perform today's services. Again, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, in verse 34, he said, take no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Mr. MacDonald said, no man ever yet went down under the problems of today It is when we try to bring up the past part of our lives and get to fretting and lamenting over mistakes that we've made back there. And it's when we are confronted with the evil forebodings of tomorrow, what might be tomorrow, and we bring these both in from the past and the present and pile them on what we've got today, that's what buckles us. That's where we break down. We do not break down under today's problems. Jesus told us, as your strength, as your day, so also shall your strength be. And He's promised us sufficient to meet today's problems. We can live today and live it graciously and victoriously. It is very important that we get settled down to dealing with the time at hand. Jesus said in John 4:35, He said, "Say not yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields are already ripe to harvest." And back to M.J. Forbes again. He and I were working on this building, and another fellow that lived just adjoining the campground back on the corner of it back there, he came over there and looked around a little bit. He said, "Well, I don't see anything to do, so I guess I'll go home." MJ said, "You never looked." Folks, there are things all around us to do, but we don't look sometimes. Maybe we don't even want to see them. Maybe it's kind of unpleasant things to do. Maybe it's something that'll kind of upset and interfere with our program. But sometimes we don't look, and so we don't see. As we move forward in this year, with the days lying out ahead of us, let us break the year up into 354 and a half days that lies ahead of us yet. And learn to live our lives one day at a time. And let us face each day in that full confidence and what God's Word said to us, "As your day, so also shall your strength be." And I often reiterate in my praying to God, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what this day holds. I can't read the future 1 hour ahead. But I know who has the future in His hands. And I face the future in that confidence that when I get there, He'll be there and He'll have everything under control. Let us live our lives daily in that confidence. Let us enter into this year with optimism. With strong faith and courage. Let us be joyful and jubilant. Let us be exuberant and excited in the anticipation of the possibilities each of those days that lie ahead will offer us. Sufficient unto the day, Jesus said, is the evil thereof. It'll have sufficient trials and tests and so on, but I might add to that, Jesus didn't, but experience has taught me this, that sufficient unto each day are the blessings thereof also. And that there are many blessings for those who will faithfully serve God and never falter in their tread. Amen.